السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة، إن الله مع الصابرين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa, and those listening over receivers. Last week we were discussing the virtues of sabr, and I gave you some incidents in the lives of the people who were very pious, very righteous, very God-fearing, very close to Allah Ta'ala, great love for Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But yet they went through very difficult, trying, testing times, and how they observed sabr and patience in those difficulties, and how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them sukoon in their hearts, tranquility, contentment, in spite of all the difficulties and hardships. So because of the trying times that the Ummah is going through at present, different parts of the world, we are hearing of nothing but problems, pain, suffering, hardships, torture, suppression, oppression, tyranny, and everything else that you can think of. So there will always be three categories of people. There will be those people who are the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara, the disbelievers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when these calamities will come, then some of them are going to be affected too. They are also going to be affected. But for them, then there's nothing in this world, nothing in the akhirat. In this world also suffering, and in the akhirat also suffering. In this world they're suffering because they did not believe in that Allah who gave them life, who gave them sight, who gave them hearing and speech, who created this whole universe for them. But they did not believe in that. They rejected. They disobeyed. They disbelieved. They were rebellious, so nothing in for them at all, because they had suffering here too, and suffering in the qabr, and suffering in the akhirat. Then there will be those people who, because of that, those sins that they are committing, because of the sins that they have been committing, but they are believers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They are believers in a day of qiyamah, in the day of judgment, in life after death. They believe in all these things. They believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They believe in the Quran Sharif. But nafs and shaitan overpowers them, and then they go towards sins, vices, evils, haram. So these type of difficulties and calamities and tests and disasters will be a shake up. It will make them return to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, make them obedient, make them make more sajdas, more zikr, more tilawat. Make them start making their namazes 5 times a day. How many people you will hear, they will say that a certain incident in my life was the cause of my change. And what will be that incident? It will be an incident in which they suffered the most amount of hardship. That will be the incident. Or the greatest amount of sorrow and grief that they suffered. There are so many people, that grief, that sorrow, or that shake-up that they got, that sudden jolt, due to that earthquake, or due to that bomb blast, or due to that accident, or due to that sudden death of some son or some daughter or somebody that was beloved. Now they will say that that grief and that sorrow and that pain that I had, that was the cause of my turning towards Allah Ta'ala. So it became a means of hidayat for that person. And for others it will be a means of forgiveness of their sins. So Allah Ta'ala will use those difficulties as forgiveness of sins, so that when the person leaves this world, he leaves in a clean and pure state. So there's no azab in the akhirat after that. So those difficulties became a means of his forgiveness of sins, and his rahmat and the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala in the akhirat. and even in this world, once his sins are forgiven. Then there will be the third category, those people who will be affected by these type of bomb blasts and earthquakes and tsunamis, flood waters, gale force winds. Now when they will come, there will be a third category of people who will be very pious, very God-fearing, Allah-walas, Waliullahs, very close to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, great degree of marifat, of yaqeen, of muhabbat. Now they also will go through some suffering in these type of problems. Or in their individual lives they will have different kinds of suffering and pain and problem. Now that is for elevation of their status. So nobody is at a loss in these type of problems. Nobody is really at a loss. Except for those kuffar, mushrikeen, yahud, nasara and the disbelievers and the atheists who died in those kind of calamities. They didn't get the opportunity of making tawbah, accepting Islam and Iman. Then we will say, well, they were a total loss. But for the others, it's not a total loss. It is a rahmat in a disguised form. In operation, what happens? Sometimes the parents, they take that little child who is so beloved to the parents, they take him to the surgeon and they say, operate upon this child. The child has got this cancerous tissue or got a tumor in the brain, so therefore we want operation. Now you pay fees to those doctors, surgeons. You feel the pain also and the hurt also while the doctor is or the surgeon is placing the knife on the child's head, on the stomach, on the chest. Any parent, what kind of hurt you feel, what kind of pain you feel. But at the same time there is a kind of inner happiness also, which you will not be able to express now. But the moment the child will get better, the child will recover from that illness, recover from that disease, then there will be an expression of that happiness. At present it is there, at the back of the mind of those parents, of that beloved family member, whether it's a husband or whether it's a wife or whoever it may be, at the back of the mind there is a kind of happiness which is lying dormant at present, and that is that there will be inshallah recovery after this operation, and then this person will be in good health, so therefore this is something that is going to give me happiness. So you can see that there are both things combined. On the one side there's pain also, and on the other side there's a happiness also. Because you are looking at the end result, that is what you are looking at. And this is what I wish to get across to you tonight, that if you look at the end result of all these sufferings and pains and difficulties and problems, it is nothing but great rewards. Therefore, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu's advice comes to mind, where he said that whenever any kind of difficulty, any kind of pain and problem and suffering comes upon a person who is a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he must think that on what has this difficulty come? On my deen or on my body? On my wealth, on what has it come? Because it can only come on the person's wealth, his home, his gold and silver, his wife, his children, or it can come on his person. So he says you must think on what has it come. It will either come on the deen of a person or it will come on the property of a person. So if it has come on the property of a person, then that property is going to perish one day or the other. So now that person must think, he must look at the end result again now. That if it has come on the property, it has come on the individual self, it has come on the body, it has come on the wealth, it has come on the children. Now all these things, one day either we are going to leave it and go, or they are going to leave us and go. One of the two. Either we are going to say goodbye, we are going now, everything is yours now. The person all his life he made high, high, mera mal, mera mal, mera mal. But now that wealth is going to go to the wife, to the children, or some family members are going to take it. Now what was the purpose and what was the benefit of accumulating it through haram and leaving it behind, spoil our akhirat and leave happiness for the people to use in the haram places? So that person was foolish. Nevertheless, so now that person made high, high and accumulated, but now he left the world. So he left everything behind. He didn't take anything with him. So any of those things, if you have to look at the body of the person, the qabr is going to, the worms of the qabr and of the grave, they are going to destroy the person's body. There was one person, he was very big in size, but very jolly, jovial, happy-go-lucky. So they used to tell him, so he used to say himself, he says, you laugh at my big body, but when I'm going to go in the qabr, then the worms will be really happy. They will give me duas. They will give dua to me. That at least you brought sufficient amount of feasting for us. He'll eat for a long, long time. And he said, you thin, thin people, if you're going to go in the grave, the worms also won't be happy. So the body of the person is going to be destroyed by the worms. The wealth we're going to leave behind. So he said, look, firstly, on what has that calamity come? If it has come on wealth, then just think that this was going to go one day or the other. Therefore, you should not be so sad and so grieved as if Qiyamah has already come. But if it has come on your deen, then you must be very worried. If that calamity has come on a person's deen, that means the person has been affected in his deen. His heart has become diseased, spiritual disease. So now that is something to be really concerned about, because it's going to cause him a problem in the qabr, in the akhirat, and even in this world, because Allah Ta'ala is displeased with him. So if it has come on the person's deen, then he must be very, very worried. But if it has come on anything else, then make sabr. Somebody asked that if a person's car gets stolen, now the person phones the police, he phones those people who deal with the tracker system, then he takes his own car and he runs around looking for that car, and then he phones other people that keep a watch for this car of mine. So now is that not against sabr? The person should have made sabr. The car went, go and sleep. Why worry about it? So he said that is not against sabr. Sabr doesn't mean that now you mustn't search for the car, you mustn't inform the police, you mustn't do anything to find the car. All that is natural concern, and the person is allowed to express that concern, and he must search for the car too. It's a world of means, so he must search for it. But deep down in the heart, there must be raza bil qada. That is the important thing. There must be raza bil qada, meaning the decision that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made. There must be no complaint about Allah ta'ala. I just bought a new car and see what happened. Na'uzu billah, the person starts complaining of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that is what causes damage to the person's iman. But if he makes use of the asbab and the means to go and search for that car, there's nothing wrong with that. That is not khilaf, that is not against sabr. The person is very sick and is going to get medication, then that is not against sabr. Sabr will mean that the person must be patient inside, because it's a sifat of the heart. The sabr is a sifat of the heart. Just like tawazu, humility is a sifat and an attribute of the heart. It's not just if you bow down and walk, then you are very, very mutawaze, full of humility. And yet if that person is told one word, then see his humility. I think I mentioned that incident, that Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hisab Rahmatullah Ali, he went to a masjid, and there he saw one young person, the way that person was making dua and crying before Allah Ta'ala, and such humility he had, that Hazrat Maulana Dr. Abdul Hisab Rahmatullah Ali says, I became real ashik of this person's ibadat, and looking at him, what amount of humility he has got. So then one blind person was walking, they accidentally, his stick touched him, or there was another elderly person that was walking and accidentally he knocked into him. So he says, immediately this young person was just now making dua and crying, he looked at him and said, you're blind, you're this, you're that, and the way he took off with that old person, he says, I said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Just now I thought that this person had a lot of tawazu in him. Now is this tawazu? Is this the humility? So sifat of the heart, sabr is a sifat of the heart. That inside there's rada bil qaza, contentment, satisfaction, happy and pleased that my Allah, whatever He has decided, it is the best for me. That is the best. once again that poetry, which I think by now most of you must have by-hearted also. But if it comes on the spur of the moment, because I haven't planned, then I believe that it is appropriate at that moment in time. Jis haal mein bhi wo rakhte hain, us haal ko akmal dekha hai, bekefi mein bhi to humne ek kaif musalsal dekha hai, bekefi mein bhi to humne ek kaif musalsal dekha hai, jis haal mein bhi wo rakhte hain, us haal ko akmal dekha hai, jis raah se wo le jaate hain, jis raah se wo le jaate hain, us raah ko ashal dekha hai, jis raah ko hum tajweez kare, us raah ko athqal dekha hai. It's in whichever kafiyat may Allah Ta'ala kiss me, I found sukoon in there, I found happiness in it, I found contentment in it, satisfaction in it, enjoyment in it. In whichever condition may Allah Ta'ala kiss me, I found that to be the best of all conditions. Now can that person suffer depression? He says, I found that to be the best of all conditions. Because the route and the road that I chose, I found that to be the most difficult of all routes. And that road which my Allah chose for me, whether it is the root of sabr or shukr, I found that to be the best of all roots. Hazrat Maulana Asghar Ali Sahib Rahmatullah, a great alim and wali of Allah Ta'ala, he was extremely sick, very high temperature. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah went to visit him and he asked him, he says, you've got very high temperature. Now he asked him, how are you feeling? You are not well, how are you feeling? He said, Alhamdulillah, the eyes are seeing well, the ears are listening, the tongue is speaking, the hands are moving, the feet are walking, but I've got a little bit of temperature. First he focused on all those ni'mats that he had, then he mentioned about his sickness. And that too thoda sa zara bukhar hai. But otherwise he said, my eyes, ears, nose, everything. If the person is looking at so much of ni'mats, so then he will find his grief being lessened. So these type of halat and conditions are affecting the whole world, there's no doubt. But as I said, that there will be a third category of people, besides those who are sinful ones and disobedient ones. The third category of people who are very pious, but they too are going to be affected. If there is a bomb blast in a city, and all the roads are now closed, then everybody is going to be affected in that area. Doesn't mean that if there's a pious person now, then his car, if he has to go to the airport, then he will be able to fly over all the other cars and go to the airport. If the roads are closed and blocked because of that bomb blast, so he too will be stuck in the traffic. He too will miss his flight. If there's a strike, he too is going to miss his flight. It doesn't mean that if this pious wali of Allah Ta'ala, because he was booked on an SAA flight and there was a strike, so and as soon as he went to the airport, then one angel came and picked him up and put him on the other side of the world. Allah Ta'ala got the qudrat to do that. But this is a world of means. So for them it's an elevation of status. These type of musibats, takleef, parishani, it is an elevation of status. Therefore Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that the person must immediately look that on what has this takleef come? On what has this difficulty come? On my deen or on my dunya? If it has come on my dunya, then dunya I am going to leave behind one day. But then again, look at even that difficulty which has come on the dunya, that what did you get in place of that dunya? What did you get because of that loss? Now because of that loss, look at what the person gained. Higher stages, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's raza and pleasure, because the person was happy. He was happy with Allah ta'ala's raza. So Allah ta'ala became happy with him. He became happy, Raza bil Qada. Therefore, Hazrat Maulana Shawali Sahib Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he asked Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that is there any stage that is higher than Ikhlas also? Because Ikhlas is the highest stage when it comes to Ibadat, Zikr, Tilawat, sacrifices, Shahadat, everything. It's Ikhlas that's required, sincerity. So he says, is there anything higher than that? He says, higher than that is Raza bil Qada. The person is happy upon that decision of Allah Ta'ala. And as I explained to you, that both things can combine, like the knife of the surgeon on the child's brains. It's a very difficult thing to take, but at the same time there's a kind of a happiness deep down that one day, inshallah, he will recover. So therefore this money that I'm spending and giving the fees to the surgeon and doing all these things, they will bring me rewards at the end of the day. So the Muslim and mu'min, he looks at those rewards that he is going to get upon this sabr. But because we are extremely weak, and therefore I have to keep on repeating these incidents, to give some kind of consolation to those people who are giving up hope. The Hazrat Maulana Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was giving a bayan, a talk, that every musibat, every difficulty, every pain and problem, it is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And whilst he was talking about every difficulty being a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, one person comes with severe injury in his hand and severe pain. And he says, Hazrat, make dua, I've got terrible pain in my hand. So now what must he do? Just now he's talking about ni'mat. So if one ullu like us were sitting there for some anadi, then we would have said, but achha hai, ni'mat hai, jao. Kya dua karate ho iske liye? What are you asking me to make dua? I was just telling you now it's a ni'mat, so go and make sabr. But they were arif billah. They understood Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. His ma'rifat they had. So now at that moment, what else can you say? So he said, indeed, even this pain is a rahmat. This pain is a ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, because it's getting you forgiveness of sins. And if you are forgiven, then you're getting elevation of status in darajat, higher stages in Jannah. But he said, oh Allah, this servant of yours, he is extremely weak and he cannot take this ni'mat of pain. It is a ni'mat, it is a blessing. But he cannot take this ni'mat of pain. So therefore change it to the ni'mat of good health. Now look at that, he combined the two. Change it to the ni'mat of good health. One doctor was opening a surgery and he said, Maulana, I must make dua in my surgery. So I said, what dua must I make that everybody must get sick? So I went to his surgery, he said, I must make dua. I said, now what dua must I make? Everybody must get sick. Now he got baffled too, now what must he say? So I told him, don't get excited there. So I said, ya Allah, people are going to fall sick. Whether we like it or not, people are going to fall sick. So they're going to go somewhere or the other. So make them come towards this doctor's surgery and practice and put shifa into the medication that this doctor dispenses. Now, in that kind of dua, somebody is going to get sick and somebody is going to go somewhere. So those that come into his surgery and his practice, ya Allah, put shifa into that medication that he is going to dispense. Because he can't give shifa. It is Allah Ta'ala who is going to give shifa. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai zarur, marizo ki shifa lekin daste khuda mein hai. So therefore he said that, ya Allah, he can't take that ni'mat of pain. So change it to the ni'mat of good health. Hazrat Maulana, what can I do? These incidents are coming now. Hazrat Maulana Qadi Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he said that his father, on one occasion he fell sick. Now his father was a very great wali, great alim, and mutamim of Darul Ulum. So he says he fell sick. So he started making hi and pain here and difficulty and all kinds of things and called the doctor. And so he said, there's just a little bit of pain and you're making it such a big issue, pain. So isn't this khilaf of tawakkul? Isn't this against tawakkul? You seem to be lacking in a bit of tawakkul that you're complaining of the pain. So he said, bewakuf kahin ka bad job. So what do you know? He says, I have seen three great buzrugs of the time. Three great ones. One of them, Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayh, Muhajir-e Makki. His condition was this, that if there was a little bit of pain, then he used to express that pain. So somebody told him that isn't this khilaf of tawakkul? He says, I am not talking about the pain. But I know that my Allah wants to make me express my helplessness and weakness. That no matter how great you may be, but in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person is helpless. If Allah ta'ala makes you sick, what can you do? So Allah ta'ala wants me to express my abdiyat, that I'm a slave of Allah ta'ala. So therefore I'm expressing that by saying that, look, I've got pain. I'm expressing my abdiyat. I'm not complaining of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is to show my helplessness before Allah Ta'ala. So my complaint is to Allah Ta'ala, not of Allah Ta'ala. The complaint he is making is to Allah Ta'ala. As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allahumma inni ash, that in that when he went to Taif, ashku basti wa huzni ilallah. So the complaint is to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The shikayat is to Allah ta'ala, not shikayat of Allah ta'ala. He said, I saw him. So that was his condition, that if there was any pain, he said, I've got pain, bring the doctor, do it. Then he says, then I saw Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanutvi Rahmatullah Ali. He said, his condition was this, that no matter what kind of sickness, no matter what kind of pain, no matter what kind of hardship or difficulty, but you will never hear a word from him. Nothing. So much so, he says that on one occasion, he was in terrible pain. And even his closest people did not come to know of it. That's how serious it was. But that was his condition. So his was complete raza bil qaza. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has decided, finish, quiet, no complaint to Allah Ta'ala or of Allah Ta'ala, nothing. So he says, I have seen him. So then I have seen Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. His condition was this, that sometimes he'll make high, paining, bring the doctor, and how much of medication I must take, and what must I do, and what diet I must go on. He's asking so much of questions, people think, what's wrong with him? But no tawakkul. And sometimes he's absolutely quiet, as if nothing has happened. So when they asked him, he said, well, this body is a machine that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to us, and it's an amanat. And it is our duty to look after this body. Allah Ta'ala will question us with regards to our bodies. And it is a sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to take medication. So therefore I am taking medication because it is the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Otherwise in my heart, he says, I've got that yaqeen that it is from Allah Ta'ala and I'm razi with it. So you can see three people behaved in three different ways, but all of them were practicing on Sharia. All of them had love for Allah Ta'ala. All of them had submitted themselves to the will and the desire of Allah Ta'ala. So they will enjoy sukoon in their hearts irrespective of what the conditions are. Therefore, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, no, he said the same thing what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned with regard to salat. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said that the position of salat in deen is like the position of the head in the human body. That the person has got no salat in his life, it is as if the person has got no body in his head. If he doesn't make his namaz 5 times a day, then it's like the person who's already dead. So then what must we complain when 70% of the ummah doesn't make 5 times namaz? So have we got life? We've got no life in our deen, then what are we talking about? So he says that the position of salat in deen is like that of the head in the human body. That's what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, the position of sabr in iman is like the position of the head in the human body. Sabr in iman is like the position of the head in the human body. The person who is a mu'min, if he doesn't have sabr, so then he is distanced from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because tests and trials will come. If the person is born, he has come to this world, there will be tests and trials, whether he likes it or not. And look at the kind of tests that came upon the people of were very, very pious and righteous. Take all the Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The kind of test that they went through, we can't even imagine. What kind of test? And the greatest of all, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says that one day I walked into the masjid and I saw Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam sitting and making salat. So I asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you sick? Because it wasn't a nafil salat. I asked him, he said, are you sick? Are you unwell? What is it that made you sit and read salat? The person who reads namaz whole night, standing, and now he's sitting and reading. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says, due to hunger, I do not even have the strength to stand today. So those people who complain about starvation and hunger, look at this incident in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In the battle of Khandaq, the sahabi comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, due to hunger, I have got a stone tied on my stomach. Due to hunger, because it was extremely cold, poverty, and the whole alliance or the coalition forces had all come and surrounded Medina Sharif, and everything was so dangerous and so risky. Every person was concerned. Now at that time they had to go and dig the trench and guard. There was no festivity and enjoyment and merriment. So at that time, due to hunger, he says, I've got one stone on my stomach. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raises his kurta and he shows it to him. He said, I, due to hunger, have got two on my stomach. Now you think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala couldn't have sent Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with food from the heavens for his great Nabi? He could have sent it. If it, with the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so many people got food and so many people got water and so many people got so many things. You think with that one du'a he wouldn't have sent it. But again, for people like us who are going to come 1400 years later, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going through all those hardships and difficulties. So that when people in his ummah are going to be arrested because of no fault of their own, except that they are believers in Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they will be made to go through starvation and hunger, and they will be tortured and they will be persecuted. Now again I am repeating that. One is where the person is willfully doing those things which causes him to be imprisoned. He is bringing about that difficulty upon himself. We are not talking about those kind of people who are stealing, who are committing all kinds of crimes. But we are talking about those people who are being arrested on suspicion that they could be from the Al-Qaeda. There's one institution here in Zambia, they closed that institution down because there was a report that there's Al-Qaeda there. And that Maulana, who was doing so much of work amongst the indigenous people, and he had built a nice masjid, madrasa, and all the students there to the reading of the Quran Sharif and all was so fantastic. I heard them myself in my last trip. But this time I went there, everything is closed. So he was arrested also and got released recently. So he's saying when they came there, now at that time the students were reading their sabak, they're making the Quran Sharif door. Now our children were doing gifts of the Quran Sharif, they shake like this and they read. So he asked what these people are doing now. He said, they're reading Qaeda. He said, oh, you see, we told you there's Qaeda here. They were reading their Qaeda. So he said, we told you there's Al-Qaeda here. He said, but this Al-Qaeda is this kitab here, where is not? He said, no, that's why they're training themselves from now. So those people who are arrested like that, they will have some kind of consolation that if I was arrested, at least I got some food, something to drink, something to survive. My Nabi, the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, la yumkinu sana kama kana haqquhu, ba'das khuda wuzrugtu bi qissa mukhtasar. 3 years he was boycotted, 3 years. And chewing the leaves of the trees, even their mouths were filled with sores. 3 solid years. So consolation, so that his ummah may get consolation. So you will get so many incidents in the lives of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are so many that if we read that, then we will understand that these type of difficulties, tests and trials, they will come. We mustn't ask for it because we are extremely weak. But there is no other route out except to turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, even in those difficulties. The person who will say, now I am sick and tired and I can't worship Allah Ta'ala anymore because he doesn't seem to be listening to me, so then he's going to head for disaster. Because where else is he going to go? He isi tarah se mumkin teri raah se guzarna, kabhi dil pe sabr karna, kabhi dil se shukr karna. This is the only way that we can go through. Sometime it is sabr, sometime it is shukr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his companions, they actually went through all those things so that we may take lessons from there and have some kind of sukoon in our lives. I will conclude tonight in this one incident in the life of Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah. Now he went to Baghdad to go and study. And now we must not look at his latter life. In his latter life he wore clothes which were so expensive that even the king of the time cannot purchase that kind of material. And then when there was some kind of patch that was required because of some damage to the cloth, he just took an ordinary sack kind of cloth and patched it up there. That means that cloth had no effect on their hearts. The expensive garment and material did not affect their hearts. There was no question of hearts being affected. When we wear expensive garment, or we travel in a big car, or we fly in first class, then we must check our hearts. If there's any kind of pride that is coming, then we must make an operation first of that pride. Otherwise it will destroy that person. But if sitting in that huge, big Mercedes-Benz or Rolls-Royce and sitting in a truck makes no difference to the person, he doesn't feel that his shan and his izzat is being affected, then for him it is permissible to sit in the Rolls-Royce for the sake of comfort, for the sake of whatever it may be. If he has got something, then it's permissible. But that person who sits in a little better car than the other, and straight away he looks down upon the others who've got a little bit of dents in their cars, so then first he must remove the dents from his heart. If the dents of another person's car is affecting him and it is causing pride to come into his heart, so then he must first remove those dents in his heart. The terrible dents there in his spiritual body. So remove those dents with zikrullah, with istighfar, with sohbat of the salihin. Then after that, then he can make use of all those things, there's no problem. So he says that this was in his early life. He says he used to go to the shores of the bank of the river. Now people come there, like how we have people picnicking and things like that. So those days people used to take the vegetable which was gone a little stale, they used to go and throw it there. So he said, I used to go there and pick up that, like cabbage and whatever was thrown there. So he used to pick that up and boil it and eat it. That was his condition. He said, one day I went, there was not even that available. But in their heart was one thing, that my Allah is aware of my condition and I am not going to beg. Although it was permissible for them to even beg at that time, but their tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. So he says, I couldn't even find that. One day went, 2 days went, 3 days, 4 days. He says, then I went to them. Then the hunger had really got him. And he says, now I was certain that the only thing that will come now upon me is death. Now imagine. And he was a born wali. But he says, I now expected that death is going to come because hunger, starvation, nothing to eat for many days. So he went to the masjid and he was sitting in the sahan. He said, a person came. Now Allah Ta'ala makes the intizams. He said, a person came with a tray of food and he sat down in one corner. And he started munching away and eating away. He's not calling him also, come and join me. Now look at the test. So Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah himself says that looking at him sometimes it so happened that as his mouth opened, in that hunger my mouth too opened. Then he says, I looked at my heart and I said, I addressed myself and said, why should you cast your glance at the food of that person? So straight away I lowered my gaze and I placed my trust once again totally in Allah Ta'ala. As soon as I did that, he says, that person came and he says, come and join me. So come and join me. So I refused. He says, because I had already had some kind of a sight on that food, although of course it was just unwittingly, involuntarily that my mouth used to open. But because of that, I refused, and now I'm not going to eat that food. So he repeatedly asked, eat. I said, no. The third time he said, I'm giving you qasam now, and you have to eat. He said, then I realized that now it is from Allah Ta'ala's side. So I ate, and I filled myself. And then Allah Ta'ala opened the doors. So many incidents of this kind. Now look at the people of that caliber. Now they're going through starvation. So those people who say because of starvation now, or because of hunger, or because of these type of difficulties, We have lost our trust and faith in Allah Ta'ala. So they must read these incidents or listen to them. It will increase the love for Allah Ta'ala and increase the iman. Dadi Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, when he went to Makkah Sharif, in the early days when he went there, because he had to make hijrat, the British government wanted to arrest him and assassinate him or hang him. So when he went to Makkah Sharif, so he said one thing, he said, Ya Allah, I'm not going to ask anybody of anything, although he had nothing and he was making hijrat now. He said, but I'm going to live there, Ya Allah, solely trusting in you. Now he said that, but when he went there, very difficult and trying times came. At one time for 11 days there was nothing, and nobody knows him there at that time. So he says, he went to the Haram Sharif, even in that state, whatever could happen, but he went to the Haram Sharif. But now he has gone so weak. Now in the Haram Sharif, again something happened. That accidentally he trampled the sheet that the person tied, the lungi of one Bedouin. And that Bedouin gave him a tight slap and he fell down. He was brought back. When he gained consciousness, he said, Ya Allah, I'm still not going to ask anybody. I'm going to ask you, because the people don't know why he's gone so weak. Then he says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent somebody. He came with a whole tray of food, plow, and he said he must eat. So he says, I ate. And after I ate, then I decided to leave some behind for the evening. But then again some thought struck. He said that Allah who sent it now, why should I leave for the evening? So he told him, no, you take this away and give it to somebody else, all the balance, that Allah will provide for the evening. He said, lucky you did that. It was somebody Allah Ta'ala sent, some waliullah or some. He said, lucky you did that. If you had kept it for the evening, for you, it would have been closed for all times. Because the stages were so high. Now, not for us that. We listen to these incidents and we make our iman strong. But it's not that we must do the same thing, that we give away everything and then wait and trust in Allah Ta'ala. Because we don't have that kind of yaqeen. That one person, he decided that, no, I'm not going to ask anybody anything, because that Maulana said that you must make tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. So he went and sat down where all the people come, like how we have garages now and we have people come there, they have the picnics and they go, whilst they filling up petrol. So he also went and parked somewhere and sat down there. And he said, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to ask anybody, I'm going to trust in Allah Ta'ala. So he sat and waited, people came, they had the picnics, they ate their sandwiches and they went away. Everyone come, they eat and go away. And his hunger is increasing, now he doesn't know what to do. So one person came and sat next to him and he opened up his chicken and his burgers and whatever he had. So that person also didn't offer him. So now what to do? So he started making coughing. So that person said, come join me. So he joined him after that. And he ate. Then when he met this Maulana again, he said, Maulana, your bayan was very good. Only one thing you forgot to say, that you must make tawakkul in Allah, but you have to cough. Zara kuch khansna padta hai, warna nahi hota. You have to have a little bit of cough to make that person. So that kind of tawakkul we are not talking about. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala must give us such yaqeen of His, such yaqeen. That's why I always say in my dua, Oh Allah, give us such a bond with You, such a bond with You, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from You. Because all the weakness of iman and everything else comes when nafs and shaitan becomes ghalib over the person. But if the person is attached, he's got full yaqeen, full trust, full tawakkul, and solid iman on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then no matter what conditions befall him, he will never be shaken. But we must not trust in our strength. We must ask Allah Ta'ala for protection. And never ask for any kind of sickness, difficulty, hardship and problems. Because we are not of that caliber. We must always ask for afiyat, for salamati. Ask Nabi Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for afiyat. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah. Ask in both worlds, this dunya and akhirah. Then if something comes, then exercise patience. Make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created. But don't lose faith, trust in Allah Ta'ala. Look at all the rewards that are there in the akhirah. for those who go through these type of difficulties. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا راحم المساكين، يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, my most forgiving Allah, loving Allah, caring Allah, kind Allah, compassionate Allah. Oh my most tolerant Allah, most beautiful Allah. Whatever decision you make, it is the best of all decisions. Whichever route you take us through, it is the best of all routes. It is the easiest of all routes. Oh my beloved Allah, but we are extremely weak servants of yours. We cannot take any kind of pain, problem, difficulty, hardship, calamity, disaster. Hum bahut hi kamzor hai mere Allah. Hum bahut hi kamzor hai. Ya Allah, we cannot even take a mild headache. Halka sa sar ka dard bhi humse bardasht nahi hota. Ya Allah, where can we take the great calamities and great azab and great problems? Oh my beloved Allah, save us and protect us. Bless us with afiyat, with salamati, with izzat. Bless us with protection in this world, protection in the qabar, protection in the akhirat. Oh my beloved Allah, don't test us in this world, in the qabar, in the akhirat. We are not like the pious and the righteous. And those who have got great yaqeen and iman and solid iman in you. Oh my beloved Allah, our iman is extremely weak. Little fitnas, my Allah, shake our iman up. Ya Allah, so many people have sold their iman for just some pretty face. So many have sold their iman for some miserable coins. So many have sold their iman, my beloved Allah, for some gold and silver and properties. Ya Allah, so many have sold their iman for petty things. Ya Allah, we are extremely weak. Protect our iman, protect our Islam. We are seeking protection from you, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, agar teri hifazat rahi, to phir to hum kamyab hai. Agar teri hifazat na ho, to phir hum barbaad hai. Ya Allah, don't destroy us like the nations of the past. We know that our actions, our deeds, our amal are just like the nations of the past. Ya Allah, if it had not been for the rahmat of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you would have destroyed all of us. Ya Allah, we are seeking from you forgiveness. You dearly love forgiveness of the sinners. Our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Ya Allah, sins of our eyes, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, heart and mind, forgive each and every one. Forgive our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members and the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of akhirah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with halal risk in abundance and remove the pain, the problem and financial difficulties. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Make us all obedient to you and your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the time of our death comes, my beloved Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. Don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, filthy movie, porn site on the internet, filthy magazine, bottle of wine, drugs. Oh my Allah, whenever the desire comes to sin in our hearts, at the same time that death become apparent before us. Ya Allah, put death before our sight and protect us from any kind of haram. Take us to Madina Tayyiba. Take us to Madina Tayyiba. My Allah, my beloved Allah. At the time of our death, take us to Madina Tayyiba. At the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. with the salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulullah on our lips, let our souls depart. Let our janazas be in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us with a small piece of ground in Jannatul Baqi. But if it's not muqaddar there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he made du'as for us. Ya Allah, bless us, our parents, wives and children and the entire ummah with all the goodness that he asked for us. And protect us and the entire ummah from all the fitnas, corruption and mischief that he asked for protection, especially that of Dajjal. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.